Hello again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Also, please don't forget to share. If you like what you hear, share it with everyone you know. This episode is going to be talking about the greatest lessons learned from real romance. And I have a beautiful special guest today. That's my fiance, Deanna. She's going to be on with me. Hello. Hello, Deanna. Can't hear you. Got to move closer.
Hello, Ross.
Here we go. So Deanna and I are going to be opening up to guests as well as they call in to share some of the things they have learned or the questions that they may have in relationships. So Deanna and I have, before we met each other, we actually have had a, we've had our past, you know, we've had our fair share of good relationships as well as very toxic relationships. In my past, for those who listen to my podcast, they know that I was a dog in the past. So I've been the toxic one in my life, and it's been crazy. I've been very toxic to a lot of good women in my life, and with all my heart, I wish I could go back and just make it right what I did to so many good women. And I believe that karma balanced itself out when I was a good man to a lot of bad women. So it balanced out in the long run. But nonetheless, there were lots of lessons that I learned in the course of that path. Lessons that I didn't pick up first when I first started dating. There were lots of lessons that I didn't pick up on. And it's interesting that lots of women have tried to teach me different lessons about being in love, about patience, etc. But I didn't pick up on those lessons because I was so stuck up in my own self. I wasn't thinking about them. I wasn't thinking about their well-being or their happiness or anything like that. It was just all about me. It was focused on me, what I want, what I need, what I desire, all that. And when I met my fiance, that's when the lessons started to, that's when they started to hit. That's when they started to connect and actually make sense. What about you, Deanna? What do you think? What kind of lessons have you learned in romance?
I learned a lot of lessons, actually. But I wasn't the dog. I was a good person. I was a good person in the relationship, and I was the one getting hurt, getting humiliated. But at the same time, now that I look back, I'm not saying I'm glad or proud of it, but at the same time, it happened for a reason, and because of what I went through, I am who I am, and I'm a lot stronger now than I ever was, and I'm happy where I am now.
Well, I'm really glad you say that, especially because I'm looking right at you and I'm right across. But now, just so everyone knows as well, my beautiful fiance, she would say this behind my back, and I know people are like, oh no, she's just saying that because she's right in front. No, this is actually how she feels. This is how she feels. And what I'm going to say on here, I've said behind her back and I said it to her face, because for the first time in my life, I'm in a real healthy and like enjoyable relationship. A lot of people say, you know, marriage is work and stuff like that. And relationships can be work. But I don't really like that word, because it doesn't feel like work. It feels like an opportunity to serve. And we both focus so much on serving each other that it doesn't feel like work. The only time it feels like work even closely is when we have disagreements and we actually have to stop, put our pride aside, and actually listen to what the other person's saying and you know, really communicate and exchange ideas instead of attack each other.
I agree. This relationship has been a lot different. It was a little hard in the beginning, because of, you know, what I went through and the trauma that I was going through. And like you said, you know, I've had PTSD from my past relationship, and I did. At first it was very hard, but you know, I'm very thankful that you had the patience to work with it and, you know, have patience with me and help me out through what I went through.
Well, you were worth it, babe. With all my heart, I said it to you before, and I said it 100%, and I still stand by it. And I told you that if you gave me a shot, that I would be worth it, because I knew for the first time in my life I was able to actually make that statement, knowing it were true, because I knew who I was. I knew my value. And that's one of the first like that wasn't planned, but one of the things that I would like to talk about first is one of the greatest lessons that is important to be learned in a relationship is, first and foremost, learn your value. You need to know what you bring to the table. And I'm not talking about financially, because there are many women out there who choose to be stay-at-home mothers, and they bring a lot to the table. Even not making actual monetary donations, you know, they're like, they're not working for a paycheck. Them staying at home doesn't minimize what they bring to the table. They can be incredible cooks, incredible mentors, smart, that can teach your children. Like, there's lots they can do to bring to the table a stable home and not just a house. So just like, bring, what can a person bring to the table is not limited by their financial contributions. So I had to first learn for myself who I am. And when I found myself, I found out, you know, I discovered that I'm loyal. You know, I know it's ironic, you know, being the slut that I used to be, I became faithful. So I'm fiercely loyal. I'm friendly with everybody. I talk to everybody. I don't think I'm better than anybody. However, I protect my relationship to the fullest. I'm very, very fiercely loyal to my fiance, and most of all to myself. I know my standards. I know what I will and will not do, and I will never disrespect my fiance or myself and doing anything I shouldn't be doing. Because what you do in the dark, you might get away with it a little bit, but at some point it's going to come to the light. And very often it comes to the light when your life is at its best. When you have a beautiful, if you cheat on your significant other, you might have a beautiful family and this beautiful life, and life is going great, and life is at its most plentiful. That's when that crap is going to come out. And then you're going to end up destroying an entire household. You're going to destroy your significant other's heart. Your kids are going to resent you because of the fact that they knew a stable home. Now they're in a divided home. Now they got to spend 1 week with you and 1 week with them, if that. And most of all, if you're the person that, you know, like, let's look at statistics. If it's the woman that hurts the man, which it does happen, not as common as, you know, vice versa, but in those situations, more often than not, the woman is going to use the kids as a weapon. She's going to keep the kids away from the husband or the father, and she'll punish the father by not adhering to the standards. Like, statistically, that happens more often than you think. If it were a man who cheats and hurts, essentially, more often than not, same result happens. You know, a lot of those women tend to weaponize the custody of kids and visitation of kids by, you know, getting back. They're like, I'm not going to let you see the kids because you should have thought about that when you were with that other woman. You know, those things happen.
Yeah, and it sucks because it's not the kids, it's not the children's fault, you know, that whatever problems is going on should be between the parents, not the kids.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're a good father to your kids or you're a good mother to your kids, you should never take that away from your kids. You know, that's just the way I feel, but
I agree 100%. Because ultimately, the parental partnership is an addition to the children. Mm-hmm. It's not like one is not more important than the other. Both of them are critical in raising those children. And a lot of times, parents, they get in their own way. Yeah. It's all pride.
And a lot of the kids end up growing up resenting one of the parents because he kept them away from the parent that they love to be.
Exactly.
With, you know. And that's a lot of the adults, you know, fault, parents' fault at the same time because of the way you raise your kids.
Yeah. And that's actually, I know nobody really knows this on my podcast audience, but I actually have a son. Both, like his mother and I, we were very young. We were very immature once we had a child. So neither of us were faithful to each other. That's just a reality. I wasn't faithful to her. She wasn't faithful to me. We argued, we yelled at each other, we cussed at each other. We didn't like each other. My son was the greatest thing that ever happened in that relationship. And I did my absolute best to be there for my son, to be part of his life, to, you know, to just like interact with him. I really, really wanted to be part of his life. One of the greatest joys in my life was knowing that I was a daddy. But in process of time, his mother stopped allowing me to be around him. And yeah, I'm not going to get into details because I'm not going to use this platform to destroy or you know, demean her publicly or anything like that, because at the end of the day, regardless of what she's done to me, or regardless of what I've, you know, the things that we've done to each other while we were young, dumb, and stupid and immature, the fact is that that's my son's mother, and I will never publicly disrespect her or allow anything to happen to her that will disrespect my son's mother out of respect for my son, and also out of my own dignity. This podcast is about uplifting people and helping people and helping people improve and grow, helping people increase peace in their lives. It's not about bringing people down. Like, there's too many other outlets that want to focus on stuff like that, and I'd rather focus on the good. So with all my heart, one of my greatest dreams is that my son's mother and I can actually have a good friendship and raise our son together and go out and do things together without animosity between us. But that's just not a possibility right now. You know, there's a lot of scars there on both sides, from her to me and me to her as well. I'm not going to act like I was an angel, because I wasn't, you know, and she wasn't an angel to me, neither was I to her. Like I said, we were both very immature, but I've always been a good father to my son. And unfortunately, I'm not able to be around him like I would love to be, just because, you know, lots of circumstances that would actually make it very dangerous for me to actually try to be in my son's life. So I know that the only thing I could do is do my absolute best to make the greatest name for myself and, you know, build a home and have his own bedroom waiting for him. So when he does come looking for me that one day, he'll come home and he'll see that he also has other siblings, you know, that I will have with my future wife right here. And he'll see that I haven't forgotten about him, that I have one tattoo on my entire body, and it is his name. That's the only tattoo I have, and it's his name. And I know that the woman I'm going to marry is such an incredible partner, and she will accept him just like it were her son. And she's also the kind of person that would not speak ill of his mother. That's one of the reasons I picked her. I knew she's not that kind of person. She's not vindictive like that.
No, I'm not. I love kids.
I know you do. That's why you're going to have 12. I mean, 15. I mean, no, I'm just kidding.
I don't know about that.
I'll hold your hand through everyone. And I'll always wake you up to change the diaper. No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. Now, so like the first thing is important. Like I was saying earlier, it's so important for us to learn your value. Know what you bring to the table. Like when you look at yourself, babe, what do you think you bring to the table?
Well, you always tell me that I always bring a home, that every time I'm here, your home is complete.
Oh, you're listening. Good job. You study for this test.
Of course.
Well, like, babe, you really do. You make any place I am, whether we're outside or we're driving in a car, wherever I am, as long as I'm with you, it feels like home. So you bring the peace of a home. That's one of the biggest things you bring to the table. Another thing is you bring peace and the security to be vulnerable. One of the most important things a man needs in his life is the ability to be vulnerable. This is the security to be vulnerable without feeling emasculated.
And that's always one thing for me that I always thought as a weakness of myself, because I'm so emotional and so sensitive. You know, I'm such a crybaby, you know, and hearing that from you telling me like, yeah, I appreciate that. I really do.
Well, it's true, babe.
Sometimes I get to a point where I'm like, oh, you know, here I go again crying. He's going to end up getting tired of me. Like, oh, here you go again. Why are you crying? But no, you haven't. And I'm very grateful for that.
Well, it takes a lot for someone to be open about how they feel. That's not something easy. And also, like, even though you cry a lot, you're not whining about things. Like, there's a difference. People can be emotional and cry about things because things like somebody else loses a job or gets a divorce or loses their baby or something sad happens to them, and it causes you to cry because you're empathetic to them. You can feel a level of their pain or relate.
Even when
with
I'm
that.
Mad, I cry. I don't like that.
Yeah. But the difference is you're not whining because you don't get your way.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's the thing that honestly, that would probably annoy me. Like, oh my gosh, are you seriously crying because we didn't get me, like, because they stopped breakfast and McDonald's and we didn't get here early enough?
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing. But the fact is you cry about things that touch your heart. So it's a big difference. And it means a lot to me that you feel safe to be able to open up. And that's another thing, that's another lesson that I've learned growing up, or excuse me, in the course of my romantic relationships, especially. I've learned more lessons with this relationship than I ever have in my life. But in the course of my relationships and my romantic life, I've learned that it's important to cultivate a secure environment. And what I mean by that is not just a physically secure, not just the safety of my baby knows that if someone tries to break in here or hurt her and I'm there, I'll do whatever it takes to protect her. She already knows that. That's one sense of security. But emotional security is another part that's just as important. If like, cause for all those guys out there listening right now, we know, well, maybe some of you guys don't know because you don't think about it, but I'm sure if you really pay attention, we will learn this one fact amongst others, that if you do anything to make your woman feel unsafe to open up, she's going to shut down. And the result of it is that she's going to start blowing up on you more because you should have known things. And you're like, I'm not a brain reader. I'm not a mind reader. I don't know what you're saying because you won't tell me. And then they don't want to open up because you made them feel stupid when they opened up to you. So the only thing that's going to happen is she's going to blow up on you and it's going to cause your relationship to fail. You're going to be miserable. She's going to be miserable and it won't last unless you both enjoy being toxic, in which case, you know, good for you. Go on with your life and then watch all your hair fall out and watch you just completely become miserable out of stress.
I agree. Because there's a lot of men that don't know how to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to hear it. Or like I said before, they either say, oh, why are you crying now? What are you crying about? You know, and that's how women shut down. And that's how I've always been. I've never been open about my feelings to anyone but except you. You know, that's why in the beginning, even up until now, sometimes it's still a little hard for me to open up and tell you that something's bothering me.
Yeah, because you have programmed yourself to respond to fear and pain for so long a certain way.
And I've always been that way since I was a kid. I wouldn't open up to anybody about my problems because I always felt that no one was there to back me up or no one was there to protect me. I kind of had to deal with it on my own.
Yeah.
So I think that in my previous relationship maybe might have obviously caused a lot of issues and, you know, because of that as well.
So now you're just reteaching yourself a new way. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, like, if you live in a certain area and there's a certain tone, you adopt certain normal habits. Meaning, if I'm in the hood and I hear gunshots all the time, I'm not going to think about it when I hear gunshots. That's just normal part of life. I'm like, oh, that's over there, that's over here. You know, there's some dude shooting down the street and I'm gonna go outside and look and see who's getting shot at. That's just normal life. Now, if I've been born or raised and living in Beverly Hills or lived in the Hamptons or Malibu or some really high-end area, and I start hearing gunshots, it's going to catch my attention. We're going to hit the ground. We're going to be like going crazy because that's not new or that's not normal. So when a person is used to shutting down, it's hard for them to open up. So they have to teach themselves to open up, which is not easy, but it requires work on that person's behalf to open up. And it also requires work on the other partner's behalf to be patient. You know, what is one of the things whenever you shut down, what is one of the things I always tell you and I remind you?
I have a voice.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't get mad at you for shutting down. It frustrates me when you shut down because I want to help and you're not allowing me to, but I'm not trying to force my way into making you let me help you.
Right.
It's just frustrating because my baby's in trouble. It's like you're drowning and you won't let me save you from drowning. And no one in love wants to feel that way. So it's important that I calm down, I get my own pride out of the way, because pride, look, for everyone listening, there is no room. That's another lesson. There is no room in your relationship for pride.
I agree. Because sometimes the pride is what gets in the way of our relationship.
Yeah. Pride starts leading to entitlement, like, oh, well, you know what? I cook 3 nights out of the week, so you know what? You should be cooking at least once. Like, you're going to feel entitled. Oh, I come home and you've been here all day. You didn't wash my laundry. You didn't do anything. Like, you're going to sit there and think that they should have done these things. Sometimes if a person's a stay-at-home parent, they have other things going on and that's not on their priority list. if it's that bothersome to you, why don't you both make time to go do it? Because you'll get it done a lot faster with both you guys doing the laundry than one person doing the laundry while you're sitting on your butt. So it's so important that there is no pride in the relationship. Like, what kind of issues have you ran into when pride was involved in your past or even now?
Well, even now, sometimes when I'm upset, my pride gets in the way, even though I know I should. I don't like to be upset with you for such a period, a long time, you know, because it's obviously, like you said, I have a voice. But sometimes I'm so mad or whatever issue we have going on, I let that pride get in the way. Then I realize, you know what, I need to put that pride aside and I need to sit down and talk to you about it, you know. But even sometimes when we're upset, or I still like to take that little time to kind of think about what happened or what I said or how I said, or maybe I should find a way to say it so that you can understand how I feel.
Yeah, that's it. Like, taking a period of time to calm down is definitely very healthy, which brings me to another lesson. Do not weaponize tools that are meant to bring you closer. What kind of tools am I talking about? Taking a second to stop talking so you can regather yourself. Don't use the silent treatment as a punishment. I'm not talking to him. What if a bullet comes through the wall and kills your partner? Do you really want the last thing that you did was give him the silent treatment? Is that really what you want to be the last thing on your mind? Because you didn't get to say goodbye. You were just like, oh my gosh, the last thing we did. You're going to kick yourself in the butt because it was petty. More often than not, we give the silent treatment over petty things. Oh, you should have washed the dishes. You had all day to wash the dishes. You didn't wash the dishes. I'm not talking to you. Like, people will do some petty stuff. But when you look at the scheme of life and death, someone dies, a lot of the things that we argue over weren't even worth it. They were petty. So if we're going to give this, like, if you, the only time you should be silent with each other is if you're so angry that anything you say might be taken out of context or it can hurt your partner. You never want to speak words of hurt. I would even go further, because in our relationship, and this is just us, there's no subliminal to you listening or anything like that, I have not said a single curse word since 2008. I've asked God to help me stop, and he helped me. It was a miracle, and he helped me stop. I've been in fights and I haven't said a single curse word, and it's helped me out so much, because now it takes a lot to get me angry. And whenever I'm upset, I am able to collect myself a lot faster and think about what I'm going to say. And my fiance and I, we never curse at each other. Even when we're mad, we don't curse at each other. And it's so important that you do not. I strongly recommend this to anyone listening. Do not curse at your partner, especially when you're mad.
Yeah, because you lose respect in your relationship. The minute you say a curse word, the F word, whatever, the B word, anything, that just shows you that you have no respect for your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to stop there. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse until, you know, your partner's in your face yelling at you and telling you all these words.
Yeah.
And insulting you.
And you know, and people are no longer focusing on the issue at hand. People are actually now trying to hurt each other. They're attacking each other.
Exactly.
They're going out of their way to make sure that they cause and deliberately inflict pain. Mm-hmm. Like, you hurt me, I want you to suffer now. That's not how you get through a loving relationship. Because at the end of the day, you can't take back what was already said. If you know your girlfriend or your fiance or your wife or your husband or boyfriend or whatever the case may be, if you know that they're really self-conscious about their nose or their ears or some part of their body, and you're angry and you're cussing at each other, and then one of the first things you do, because now you're enemies, you're hurting each other, you're throwing emotional daggers at each other, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to say, well, you know what? Your nose is big enough I can mountain climb on it. Like some stupid insult that's going to hurt her. And now you can't take it back. And that's not going to stop when you have kids.
Especially when you start insulting, you know, if your partner has kids, or, you know, you guys have kids together, or, their kids are kids. But if you start insulting, you know, your partner's kids who are not your kids, that's also a problem too.
Yeah. You should never, like, in a relationship, that's another lesson. In a relationship, you should never insult each other.
Mm-hmm.
or those you love. If you love somebody, you should never, never insult those you love. Because you're supposed to build each other up. If a person cannot feel safe and that they can't feel built up in their home, then something's wrong. I get it, people get mad, and I get it, some people need to be tough and have thick skin. There's a difference between joking with each other and toughening each other up and being a bully. You should never be a bully to someone that's entrusted in your safety, security, and care. There's a big difference. Like, you could sit there and, like, if I had a daughter or a son who liked to snort when they laugh, I would call them little piggy for that reason, just to joke. But they know that I would never call them piggy if they got chunky. Like, I wouldn't do that to my kids or to my wife or anything like that, because that's just way below the belt.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the fact is that if you have an argument, there's a disagreement, focus on the disagreement. Focus on what it is that is causing the disagreement. Get the pride out of the issue. Remove pride. And then focus, how are we going to find a solution to this issue? What is it? What's going on? Rather than, oh my gosh, you came home late. You think I'm stupid.
But what if that partner doesn't want to listen? What if the other partner doesn't want to hear it? You know, he or she rather, you know, continue to want to keep arguing. What should you do?
In my opinion, if a person doesn't want to listen to you opening up and pleading to them, and they don't want to listen, it's time to leave. At that point, I think it's time to leave, because you have the right to be happy in your relationship. But what keeps a lot of people together? I think
honestly, some of the people that they've been together for so long, they get used to the insults, and then they obviously go vent to somebody, but yet they start, you, that person tells you, well, you know what you need to do. If the person keeps insulting you, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
You know what you need to do. Oh, but he's this, he's like that. They start making excuses. Okay, well, maybe you're not ready to walk away. But at some point, it's not going to change. It's going to continue. It's going to be a cycle if you don't put your foot down and say something.
I agree. And that's just one of those things that if people aren't careful, then they'll settle for, I mean, their life will pass them by. And they're going to end up settling for someone who doesn't deserve them. And they're going to end up suffering even more emotionally.
I think the problem majority of the women are afraid of being alone. I know men are afraid of being alone, but I think it's more the women that are afraid of being alone. And the way I see it is, after what I went through, there's nothing wrong with being alone. Because I think one lesson that I learned about myself is that I focused my life in for one person who didn't appreciate me, didn't value me, didn't care pretty much about me. You know, I'm not going to sit here and talk bad about him, but I, at the end, once everything ended, I learned to get to know myself, and I realized there's nothing wrong with being alone. I feel like my life is actually better without this person. You know, always insulting me, disrespecting me, you know, saying things to me. Being alone and being single for a while, especially if you're just trying to get to know yourself, it was worth it at the end. It was worth it at the end because I got to know me. And that once I got to know me, it made me stronger, and I got to know you.
And it was all worth it from there.
Sure was.
And it's just one of those things, like, I see so many people out there who would rather be miserable than be alone. But the thing is that for all you ladies out there who feel that way, who are trapped in life, where you're just like, I'm afraid, I don't want to be alone. Sweetheart, you don't need to settle. And for all you guys out there, my brothers, you don't have to settle either. Don't be with a woman who is not going to treat you with respect. Ladies, don't be with a man who won't treat you like with respect. And also for everyone listening, an automatic red flag to break up with this person because they're toxic and there's just no need. I don't care how sexy they are. I don't care how good the sex is. I don't care if they're talented and doing any little special thing.
It's only good for a little while.
Yeah, but the fact is, if they blow you up on social media, if they air out your dirty laundry on social media,
that's bad.
Or tell any or all of their friends. I mean, everyone's got that one friend in whom, with, you know, in whom
they
can buy.
Knowing everything.
Yeah, that, there's always that one friend that knows everything, and that's the exception. That one or two friends that they've just known forever, whatever. Sometimes people, but these are not like yes men. These are people that have their back and will be honest with them and tell them, hey, you were wrong here too. You know, those people, that's okay. But on social media has no place for your dirty laundry. Nobody should ever have, like, no person you date should ever air out your dirty laundry. If you find someone and they do that, don't even worry about it. Don't invest any time with them in the relationship. Move on. Because I guarantee you, anyone who would air out your dirty laundry is the exact same type of person that would weaponize a child from you. Meaning, if for you guys out there that are dating women that will air out your dirty laundry, last night he came home late. He said he was working. I don't think so. I'm not stupid. That same woman would have a child with you and then, or excuse me, I can't say guaranteed. That same woman is highly likely to keep you from seeing your children just because she's mad at you, even if there's a court order. I have a bunch of friends I know that have court orders, and they try to get the mother of their children to obey the court order, and the women don't even care. They'll constantly show up late. They don't care. So if somebody's willing to blast you on social media or on the internet, they're never going to respect you the way you deserve. Male or female, it doesn't matter. Don't waste time with someone who's willing to do that. Your dirty laundry is supposed to be between you and your partner. It should never see the light of everyone else's days.
I agree. And anybody who's going through a heartbreak and having problems with their, you know, partner, I think no matter how many times your friends are going to tell you, oh, you should leave him, you should leave him, you should leave him, I know you're never going to listen. But there's going to come a point where you're going to realize, like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And you're going to walk away. And honestly, walking away is a big step from that toxic relationship.
Yeah.
No matter how many years, you know, don't think that you wasted so much time in this person. You did what you did, and you tried. And people are in your life for a certain time for a reason. And that's to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
You know, you will go in through a emotional roller coaster. Yes, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt for a while. You know, you're going to have a lot of moments where you're crying. You're going to have a lot of moments where, you know, you're going to look, I should go back. But you should always follow your heart and say, no, he or she is not for me because of so-and-so reasons that he made me feel this way.
Never settle.
Mm-hmm.
And another lesson too that I would encourage everyone to learn, which I've learned myself, sometimes you just can't help the situation.
Yeah.
Just because two people love each other or really like each other doesn't mean they're right for each other. You know, that is just, that's just a sad reality. You can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. If you have a partner that has a severe drinking problem, sometimes they don't want to be helped, or they have a severe drug problem or an anger problem. You need to stand up for yourself and the family and the relationship and say, look, you are not going to continue to cultivate hatred in this home or animosity or anger. That's not going to be the norm for this place. This is supposed to be a place of safety and solitude and peace. So if you're not going to get help, like, I'll be here for you. I want you to get help, but you need to do it for yourself. I'm begging you, please get help. And if they're not willing to get help, they don't want to get help, then you need to get up, pack your bags, and leave. You need to defend what's right. Do not settle, because it's not about abandoning a person. It's one thing if that person's trying to get help and they're slipping. That's when you're supposed to be there for them through thick and thin. You have their back. But if somebody is being abusive to you emotionally, physically, verbally, whatever the case may be, if they have an addiction to something that's causing destruction in the home and they are not trying to get help, they don't want help, it's time for you to get up and leave. Maybe them seeing that you're not going to stick around if they don't want to help themselves, maybe them seeing you being self-destructive is going to wake them up.
I agree, especially if you have kids, that partner of yours is mistreating you, disrespecting you, and your kids are seeing that. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for, you know, you to put your foot down and step out of that relationship, because you don't want your kids to grow up or have a partner like that. And then later your kids are going to end up resenting you because they see that and they say, well, my dad or my mom treated you that way. You know, that's why I have this partner, because I have issues because of what I grew up in or what I saw.
Yeah. And I've learned too that one of the greatest ways to protect your daughters from, and I've said this on previous broadcasts, one of the greatest ways to protect your daughters from being with a garbage guy, or protect your sons from being with a destructive, toxic woman, is to show their mother or their father the absolute utmost respect. To treat them with dignity, respect, and chivalry. You know, get in there and treat her as your equal, not your subordinate. Women are not physically strong as men, but they are mentally strong as heck. They are way stronger mentally. As I said in a previous broadcast, if men could have babies, if God wanted to say, I'm going to make men have babies, the suicide rate amongst men would skyrocket. Men would kill themselves. Like, this is too bad.
Men wouldn't handle the pain of giving birth.
I've even said in my last episode, I said, we can go on. We cut our finger off. We'll keep pushing. We'll keep working. We scratch ourselves, cut ourselves. We'll keep pushing. We'll put duct tape on it and keep pushing.
Even when men are sick.
But if we get a headache.
They can't act like babies.
We don't act like babies.
Yes.
If we get a headache, we're down for the count. Yes. If we're sitting there throwing up and we have a headache, then yes, we're down for the count. We're babies. Yes.
If they have a cold or they have a flu, they are the worst babies.
No, we are not. We will still go to work. We'll just tell people stay away from me because I got the mouth diarrhea. But women might not be physically as strong as us, but they're freaking mentally stronger than heck, man. Seriously,
women can handle pain.
Yeah, emotional pain more than men could. Seriously, like, a woman be working a construction job, 8 months pregnant, still live, like, you have to tell them stop lifting heavy stuff. The doctor said no, and then she'll look at you and say, "You better get out of my face and go get me some chocolate ice cream."
Like, one thing that I've learned that has made me so strong is when I went through a really, really bad heartbreak, that I was able, no matter how hurt and how sad and how, you know, miserable and depressed I was during my heartbreak, I still got up to go to work. I still got up to, you know, do what I have to do. And even on my days when I was going to work and I just felt like I just tell my boss, you know what, I'll be back. I gotta go to lunch. I go to lunch, go in my car and cry like a girl, like a baby, and just cry and cry. And then 30 minutes come up, stop crying and get back to work and do the same thing over and over again. That's one big lesson that I learned, was how much strength I had to be able to keep going.
Yeah.
And not break me down.
And I see that by you expressing that, you didn't hold it in. You had an outlet, a healthy outlet. Crying was your outlet.
Oh, yeah.
But you chose to strategically not hold it in. Like, you would contain it while you were at work in front of people and focus on your job. But then you would actually allow it some type of escape and relief, like during your lunch break, when you were able to just kind of do that in the right circumstance. That's definitely very important. It's very important to have that emotional escape, or what's the word?
Being able to cry and let it out.
Yeah.
It helps a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I look back at it now and it was very painful, but at the same time, I think that was the most traumatic time that I went through. you know, I went through other things, you know, with family and issues and stuff like that, and that were tough also. But I think dealing this on my own was my biggest challenge, because I not only did my ex walk out on me, but he walked out on our home. So I had to figure out, what am I going to do next?
Yeah.
I was so far away from a family. I was alone, you know, and I think that was my biggest challenge. Like, where does my life go from here?
Mm-hmm.
But I took it day by day. I did have a lot of support, thankfully, from friends and family, which I'm very grateful. But also kind of dealing it on my own was my hardest challenge.
Yeah. Having that support group is so critical.
Yeah.
Having a real support partner is really, really, really critical. Another lesson that I've learned as well is the actual definition of true beauty. I think that's one of the reasons, like I made a comment, you know, talking about how blessed I am on a YouTube video, talking about my fiance and just how amazing she is. You know, it's not about bragging. It's just expressing gratitude for God blessing me with such an incredible partner. And this guy said, you know, this guy responded to my comment, said, "You're a fool if you get married, because you're destined for all this drama and financial problems and this and that and this and that." And I think one of the reasons why so many people feel that way is because they went into a relationship with the wrong focus. They thought they knew what they wanted, but they didn't. They were too busy settling for a sexy looking woman, you know, or a rich man. They were too busy. Like, they had really basic desires and they were so off. It's like a person going, "Oh my gosh, well, you know, I can afford the mortgage payment on this house. You know, the mortgage payment is $4,000. I make $5,000 a month. Okay, I can afford the mortgage. Let's get a house." And then all of a sudden you realize, crap, now the mortgage is $4,000, which gives me $1,000 extra, you know, to work with. And now I got to pay the electrical, I got to pay the plumbing, I got to pay the gas and the utilities, and oh crap, something just broke. I got to pay to get that fixed. Oh crap, we don't have money to pay all this stuff. Oh, I got to pay the car too. And oh man, so they end up getting a foreclosure. Now they have a big foreclosure on their credit report. They lose the house. All because they went in not actually looking at the situation. They didn't do their research. They just went in with one thing, saying, "I can afford the mortgage." And then they end up learning the hard way that you lose your house that way. But like, I started learning that when you really get to know somebody, it's different. And I used to think that a pretty face was the definition of beauty. But it's not. It's a pretty face. There's a movie called Avatar, and I don't think there's a person on this earth who hasn't seen it. But there's a greeting that they have, and I don't remember the actual wording or the actual word for the greeting, but they would say, "I see you," as though I see all of you. And that's what the true definition of real beauty is. When you see the whole package of your partner, and you are just mesmerized by what you see. You're taken back. You're smitten. When I look at my fiance and I see all that she is, that is a definition for me of true beauty. You're more than just a beautiful face. You're beautiful inside and out. And I've never met a woman that has the whole package like you. And I'm not just saying that because you're looking at me. I'm saying that because it's true. I tell it to all my buddies. You really are the complete package. Even my buddies are like, "Dude, she's like the best girl I've ever met." I'm like, "Yeah." I get to marry her. Yeah, yeah.
Stop.
Hands off. Don't touch. No, just kidding.
You're making me blush.
That's my job. Mm-hmm. All right. So we want to open up to you guys, for everyone who's listening right now. Feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions, comments. If you have any lessons you have learned, we'd love to hear them. We'd love to listen. We'd love to learn.
Yes.
If you have any questions for Deanna or myself, we'd be more than willing to receive those questions. We're open book. If you like what you heard, feel free to ask us any questions, because we'd love to open up and explain some more things, because there's lots to learn about a relationship. But one of the most important things is just get your pride out of it. And remember, relationships are not about work. They're about service, service to each other. And if you're willing to serve each other and have each other's back, you will create some exceptional memories, some great moments that will last you a lifetime. And you're gonna learn about what actual intimacy is. And you're gonna discover that intimacy has little to nothing to do with sex. Like, real intimacy is a deep connection. It's a deep connection between you and somebody else. In fact, I can have true intimacy with my listeners by having that deep connection, but it's a different type of intimacy that I would have with my fiance, because our connection is based off of a deep, endless love, you know, and safety, trust, respect. There's so much that caused that ignite that intimacy between she and I. So if anybody would like to join us on this call or on this episode, we'd love to have you, because I know that there's some lessons that you guys have learned that can possibly help me become a better fiance myself. I'm always looking to change or improve, and I'm always looking to learn. I know Deanna is always looking to learn. I can see that every day in the way she conducts herself. And I love watching you grow. It's an honor. I've never dated a woman who wanted to grow. They, just about every one of them said they did. You never dated a woman either?
Never dated a man.
I
was always the pusher, and I hated it because it made me look like a bad person. You know, like I always was try to push to be better, to, you know, want to grow, but that person didn't want to. And it made me look like a nagger.
Yeah, I get that. You sometimes, there's this one girl I was dating a while back, and she would always tell me that she would always accuse me of saying, everything's on your time, everything's on your time. I'm like, no, I would never push. I would always invite, like, hey, would you like to study the scriptures with me today? She's like, no. Hey, would you like? And this girl's grown up in the church longer than I am. And she didn't want to pray with me. She didn't want to study with me. But she was like, I'm going to get there. But she wouldn't even make any effort. Like, she didn't want to grow, period. She was all about, you know, staying the same and being who she was. And I decided to end the relationship. Now she doesn't like me at all, because no one's ever dumped her. And I did. So her pride was really hurt. But like, the thing is that I don't try to make anyone grow at my pace. It's not about me. I always believe that, you know, growing at a snail's pace, forward movement at a snail's pace is still forward movement. So whether you're growing, you know, in a sprint or at a snail's pace, you're still growing. And that's all I want is growth. I want improvement, forward movement. I want to grow with my partner. I don't want to grow and then look back and my partner's still standing where I left them. It's not cool.
Come on.
Yeah, let's go. Come on. I'm waiting on you. You know what I mean? And it's just something that really brings me great honor to see you and just see how you've grown. Because I know when we first started dating, you know, me being an author of the book Soul Guardian by RJ Kurtz, you guys can find that book anywhere books are sold online, especially Barnes & Noble and Walmart.com and Amazon. If you just look up my author name, R.J. Kurtz, that's the letter R, the letter J, K-U-R-T-Z. If you look that up, you'll find my book. It's a vampire book. It's an angle that's never been done before, very unique. And so far, everyone that's read it, they absolutely love it. My fiance is reading it right now. And
oh, it's
called a shame. I put you in a shame. You've had it for a while.
It's a good book, babe. It is. I told you before, I'm not a person to sit down and read a book, but I'm trying my best to read the book. And so far, the book is good. I even told him where I left off when I stopped reading it. And until this day, I remember where I left off and I still remember the book. But I have a good memory, you know? So once I kept reading, I was like, all right.
You're out of the doghouse. No, I'm just kidding. You were never in the doghouse, babe. I was just giving you a hard time.
And now it's like that I'm reading it. I'm almost done, by the way. You know, I was trying to finish it on his birthday so that I can surprise him but I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, you had a lot going on that day. And yeah. It was a very, very special birthday. I had so much fun. Thank you.
Yeah, but I mean, the book is good. I'm not saying that because you're here. You know, I know you like people's honest opinion because you are the same way. Yeah. But so far, I think the book is pretty good.
Now I can take the gun away from your stomach. No, I'm just kidding. So, so you can definitely check my book out and tell me what you think as well. I love hearing from you guys. And for those of you on the Wisdom app, you guys can definitely feel free to message me, send me a text, and let me know what you think. Ask me any questions you want. And again, if you want to join us on this episode, I'd love to have you join us. So you can tell us some of the lessons you've learned, or ask us some of the questions you have, or if you have a question for Deanna, if you have a question for myself, we're both here. We'd love to answer those questions for you. And if you have an experience you'd like to share, we'd love to have that. And it's been a blessing. You know, one of the things that Deanna and I have also experienced is, you know, grammar correction. You know, that's something that people have, some of my buddies actually used to correct my grammar, and it would irritate me at first, like, dude, like, what the heck, we're not talking in a college setting here. But they would tell me, like, it's not about that, man. It's about helping you increase your vernacular, is what they would tell me. It's about helping you know how to speak to anyone on the same level they speak. And it started helping me grow, and that actually increased my ability to communicate with people, you know, who are college professors, pastors, doctors. Like, I literally can communicate with anybody almost about anything. I don't know everything, of course, but I've asked lots of questions. I'm well-rounded about a lot of different subjects. So I know a little bit about a lot just because of all the questions I've asked, and they've helped me learn to communicate with lots of different types of people. And I said all that to say that I also have shared that same those same lessons with my fiance. And at first it was kind of harsh, and it was not well received. You know, she expressed to me that she felt like I was always critiquing her language and her speaking. And I tried to reiterate to her that it's not about critiquing you or correcting you or looking down, because I never look down at you. It's about helping you build confidence in yourself in the way you speak. Yeah, you are short. And it makes me feel so good that you look up to me all the time. Those are the best kisses too. When you just get on your tippy toes and just like lean in to kiss me. I love that.
Aww.
People are probably thinking like, oh, they've only been together for like a couple of months.
Yeah,
they're in the honeymoon stage.
We've been together for 3 months.
What? No, we have not. We're about to hit the 2-year mark.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, I have never felt this way with any of my exes, even in the honeymoon stage.
Neither have I.
Like, this is the real deal, and we've both been through hell, but I'm telling you, all that hell resulted in this heaven. And for anyone out there listening right now, I want you to remember this, and I want you to know this for sure. Take it to the bank. After every one of us face very scary storms, and sometimes, like, if you're watching a storm from the shore, it's not that scary. But when you're in a boat in the middle of the ocean and you see that storm, every second you're fearing could be your last, and it's a nightmare. You can't sleep, you can't relax, you're holding on for dear life, praying that one of those waves doesn't just knock you over and that you don't drown. You're afraid that everything is just going to come crashing down. But I promise you, if you will push through those challenges and endure that storm well, don't complain, just endure it. Seek for the lessons you're supposed to learn. If you will take time to learn the lessons attached to that storm, when it passes, you will have the brightest, most beautiful mornings. And everything that comes as a blessing in result will be 100% worth it. I promise you that.
I agree.
In the end, the greatest lesson that I've learned,
it's all worth it.
Yeah. It's all worth it if you do it right.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the greatest lesson. And one final call for anybody else who wants to join us and has any feedback that they like to offer. The lines are open. Feel free to join us. We'd love to have you on. And I think that would be a nice little closing point. Sometimes people want to share. Sometimes people just want
to
listen.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I was like, maybe they just want to listen, you know? And I think to anyone that's going through a heartbreak, you know, even though you feel lonely right now, you feel very lonely and you don't know where your life is going, believe me, your life will get somewhere if you continue to believe in yourself, you know, and continue to just keep going and moving forward and not, you know, I know you're gonna feel like you're gonna move, you're at some point you might move back a little, but just remember that whatever that person did to you, you know, to hurt you, and it's not worth it to go, to keep continuing, because if that person doesn't respect you, doesn't appreciate you, doesn't love you, that person doesn't deserve you, period. But only you can make that decision, whether you want to continue to stay or walk away. But in the end, I guarantee that once you hit to a point where you're strong enough to not be able to move back, it would all be worth it. And you're going to be thankful that you went through this, because that whatever you went through will make you strong.
Absolutely. You know, this lesson that I leave with you as well is, don't settle. Know yourself, know what you bring to the table, but be realistic. Don't sit there and think that you're going to get a 10 when you're a 2. And I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about quality of who you are. Because there's some beautiful looking cars out there that are nothing more than lemons who are going to break down as soon as you drive them off the lot. So don't think that you're going to have this incredible partner if you're a garbage partner yourself. If you are that kind of person, be honest with yourself. If you're garbage, then work on yourself. There's nothing wrong with being garbage if you're working on yourself to improve. The only problem about being garbage is if you don't really care and you want to stay garbage. That's where the problem is. But sometimes it's hard. That's actually one of the hardest questions I've ever had to ask God is, show me myself. Who am I? Because that's when I saw this really ugly image I didn't like. Who, and all these hearts that I broke and all the lessons that I've learned as a result of that answer have changed me for the better. So I encourage everybody listening, do not settle, because if you settle, you will never be happy. It is better for you to be single than to settle for someone who does not deserve
it. Remember your worth.
Absolutely. Because when you have kids, your kids are going to notice your worth. And if you're settling, they're going to feel that as well. Yep. You have anything else from baby?
No. Just respect yourself. That's it. You know your worth.
Well said. I just want to take this second to thank every single one of you for spending time with us this evening. And I hope that the lessons taught today have helped you, have elevated your level of peace and self-worth. And I hope that they've made your life a little bit better than it was before you listened to us. Have a great evening, and thank you so much for spending time on Real Talk with RJ. Signing out.
Bye. Thank you.